Last week we talked about how family fights, and we said that family fights with and for each other. Yeah, this is Veterans Day weekend. Did y'all know that? I know you knew that because like we're halfway through the service, and some of y'all were like, "Does Paul know? Does he know it's Veterans Day weekend?" Yes, I do. And I just want to say that I appreciate the veterans that have fought for us, right? And could you, if you're a veteran, would you be willing to stand? And can we just stand up and honor them right now? Thinking about veterans and war made me think about F words. I know it's terrible, but I was talking about forgiveness. I don't know what you were thinking. So we might need to pray right now, because I've seen Saving Private Ryan, and there's a lot. Well, that's not forgiveness, but that's the word we're talking about this morning, is forgiveness. So I was thinking about veterans. I was thinking about, like, war, and when, like, people go off and they fight for us. Now, I'm not old enough to remember Vietnam, but I've heard about it, you know, seen documentaries, all that stuff. And so I guess what I was thinking about was when the people that went off to fight in Vietnam, when they came home, yeah, I've read about how they were treated. And talk about the topic we're going to use today about how family fights, but yes, family also forgives. Man, there was some forgiveness needed, right? And sometimes fighting brings that out. Like we go off, we fight for one another, and the fighting in and of itself can be traumatic. And then what do we do with that, right? What do we do? If family fights, then what do we do after that? Family forgives. And so this morning we're talking about forgiveness. If you're okay with it, I have dyed my hair gray so that I could appear wise. No, we're just going to look at some scriptures. This is not going to be a deep teaching. I mean, I think this is one of those topics that we all know that Christians should forgive. Do you ever should yourself to death? I had to be careful how I said that. But we do it all the time. And if you go to counseling, that's one word that they'll tell you maybe stop using, right? Like it can fill us with all kinds of shame. Like, oh man, I should be better at that. Or I should act like a Christian. You made me really mad, but I should be patient. Right? Wait. And there's something about that makes us feel like we can't just be us. And so it's not what this is about. I just want us to take a look at scripture about, just look at forgiveness. Can we just, like, as a topic, let's just study, do a little Bible study this morning. And I also want to share some stories. Like, I've lived long enough to have been through a lot of this, right? Not that you have to live a long time to need to forgive people, but I've lived long enough to have to forgive family and ask family to forgive me for big things. And so this is not just theory, right? This is, I mean, how many of you, don't raise your hand, because the person next to you could be in your family, but how many of you right now you're thinking, oh yeah, I can think of 1, 2, or 10 people in my family that need to hear this message and forgive each other, right? Man, family just brings out the best and the worst in us, and it can get messy. So here's your big idea. It's based off of Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Let me read you the verses first, and then I'll give you your big idea. Jesus is talking, and he says this: "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Woohoo! Next verse. "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Again, that's Jesus talking, right? So, I mean, we have a choice whether we want to forgive or not. But I would say, based on those words, we don't really have a choice. Like, if we want to live and not die, we need to forgive. So your big idea is we forgive so we can live. Short, sweet, rhymes, everything. We forgive so we can live. So I want to just break down this morning, like I did the whole what, when, why, and where, and how. Okay, so all those about forgiveness. So let's talk about the what of forgiveness. What exactly is forgiveness? The simplest definition is it's releasing somebody from a debt. How many of you right now have a car loan, a mortgage, maybe a credit card balance that you try to get to go away, but it keeps coming back? Like kudzu, right? I just can't kill it. Wouldn't it be great if you received a letter in the mail from the people that you owe that said, we're good. You're literally what they will say is your debt has been forgiven. Forgiveness is releasing someone from debt. It's also paying close attention to, noticing, and acknowledging how you felt wronged, and then in spite of that knowledge, choosing to show that person grace. I was in a meeting with a family, and it was tense, right? It was like, I don't even know if it was a come to Jesus meeting. It was just like, we just need to talk. And so people were sharing. They were sharing how they felt. And one of the people in that meeting said this statement. And I think it came from the right place, but let's just unpack it a minute. They said, what I would like to do right now is to take this entire conversation and walk outside and dig a hole and put it in the ground, put dirt over it, and never dig it up again. And we were all like, amen. That's a great idea, except that's not how you forgive. Forgiveness isn't pretending like it didn't happen. Forgiveness isn't barely talking about it and then let's put it away so we never have to feel bad again. Forgiveness is actually acknowledging it, seeing it, recognizing this is actually what happened. This is what you did to me and how I perceived it. And even though all that's true, I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to choose to release you from your debt. I'm going to choose to forgive. I put this down in short. It's releasing the other person from the need to be punished by you. Parents, raise your hand. I know I'm in good company. Have you ever punished your child and it ended up punishing you? Right? Like you told them they were grounded. And you just like, in the heat of the moment, you rattled off like 10 things that they could never do until they got married. And 4 hours later, they were doing one of the things that you said they couldn't do, but you couldn't remember exactly what you said. And then you realized that the one thing you do remember was they couldn't do anything outside the home, but you had that thing you were going to go to. Sometimes that's why unforgiveness wears us out. Because we're trying to keep up with how to punish the other person, but it actually ends up punishing us. So you've probably heard this, holding on to unforgiveness is like swallowing poison and hoping the other person dies. It wears us out trying to keep up with how much do I need to punish? How often do I need to punish? Have I done it enough? It'll kill you. We forgive so we can live. That's the what of forgiveness. It's releasing somebody from their debt. I could say it another way. It's letting them off the hook. But that might hit you wrong. Because you're like, no, what they did deserves to have a hook. Right? It's not, again, burying it, pretending like it didn't hurt you, or acting like it wasn't actually that bad. It's saying all of that. And then saying, but I choose to forgive. I can't be the only one who watches the news sometimes, and you'll see interviews. One day I'll be watching the news, and like, you know, a family loses a member of the family, they get murdered, and there's a vigil, and it's like literally the day after the murder, and they'll interview an aunt, a grandma. They're always so sweet, you know, and they'll say, we choose to forgive. We're forgiving the person that killed our son, our daughter, our niece. And they'll inevitably say, because I'm a Christian. Okay, I get it. You're a Christian and you should do that. A day after? Like, almost that feels like, let's just whitewash the pain and let me just say what I'm supposed to say to the camera. But then when that person goes home and still feels all the things that they feel, do they feel like they didn't really forgive? Does this make sense? Forgiveness is hard, y'all. It's something that can trip us up. I heard a preacher say it's the high hurdle. I didn't run track. Would y'all pay money to see me run high hurdles? Yes. I feel like we could probably build another building just off that fundraiser. But he was talking about it's a high hurdle because sometimes you're running towards the hurdle and your thought is, I cannot get over that. I can't clear that. Or you try to, and this would be me, you hit your knee or your foot or whatever, and you're just like face plant. That's kind of how forgiveness is. We know it's something we're supposed to do. It's just hard. So when should we forgive? Here's some verses for you. Matthew chapter 18, if you got your Bibles, it's the first book in the New Testament. If you don't have your Bibles, it's still the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? A lot of people are like, why did he say seven? And it's because they felt like in that culture that was a number of completion. Plus, they actually taught in that culture that it was considered extremely holy, extremely religious to forgive somebody a couple of times. So Peter wasn't trying to get out of doing something hard. He was actually, like, we would have been like, wow, Peter, you're really in love with Jesus because you went from, like, two to seven. He was setting the bar fairly high. Jesus said, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Your version might say, but 70 times seven. And if you have 70 times seven, you just did the math, and you were like, 490. Sweet, I'm at 489, right? One more time, that can kill somebody. It's not what Jesus meant. It's not what he meant. He was saying that this answer would have caused Peter and anybody else listening to kind of like do what Eden does. That's our new puppy. Like when I give her a command and she doesn't know what she goes, right? And Peter would have been like, wait, what? I said seven, you went way higher. And what Peter would have been thinking was, that's not possible. That's a high hurdle that I can't get over, right? 70 times 7. So Jesus explains the why behind that because, like, he gives a whole parable talking about how forgiveness changes us and that when we recognize that we've been forgiven, it doesn't make it easier to forgive, but it makes it possible to forgive. I put this in my notes because in Luke 17, Jesus also says to forgive daily. Parents, you do that already, right? You forgive daily. You have every reason to be like, oh, why would you do that again? God's like, another opportunity to forgive. If you have a boss that you don't particularly like, a coworker that gets on your nerves, people that you see every single day, you already know this. It's hard to forgive daily. So when do we forgive? I just summed it up like this. More times than we want to or think we can. Is that fair? Why do we forgive? This is the meat of it. So we're already in Matthew chapter 18. Let's just start in verse 23. I'm going to read you some of this parable that Jesus told after saying you should forgive 70 times 7. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. I didn't do the math to see what the value would be of 10,000 bags of gold, but it's in the millions by today's, maybe even billions by today's economy. Somebody say that's a lot. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Wouldn't you? Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. That's called forgiveness, right? Releasing somebody from their debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. It works out to about $40. He grabbed him and began to choke him and said, pay back what you owe me. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. Does that sound familiar? That sounds exactly like what he said to his boss. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had that man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw that what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that happened. And then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. Now, that's a great story, right? And I wish we could leave it there, but here's what Jesus says at the end of it. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Why do we forgive? Because we've been forgiven of a much greater debt. Can we have real talk for a second? Let's talk about economy. And this is not a political statement. It's just a really easy illustration. I know student loan debt is big in the news, right? Like some people want to have it canceled. That would be all the people that have it. Can I get an amen, right? And maybe also their parents. And then some people don't, and that would be all the people who don't have it and paid theirs back and all the things. I get it. And I'm not doing this so we can fight. That was last week, right? But what if tomorrow that thing went through and all the student debt was cleared away and forgiven? I just want you to get a picture of how this first person felt. You would feel like relief. I mean, this was great. But let me ask you a simple question. Do you have any more money? No. You just don't owe any more money. So we're really hard on this second guy, like the first servant, right? He gets forgiven millions of dollars, but he still walks out not owing millions of dollars and having no money in his pocket. And then he meets a guy who owes him money, and he's like, that's where I'm going to get my money. So don't judge that man, because we've done the same thing. It's good to be forgiven, but we can still walk away feeling kind of empty because we didn't gain anything. If all we're doing is looking at the transaction and saying, hey, God, you had me, man. You had me dead to rights. And I'm so thankful for the forgiveness of Jesus. And I'm not going to go to hell. If that's all we've got, then we're going to walk around like this first man. And we're still going to try to get from people what we should be looking to God to get. And we're going to find ourselves in prison. That's what unforgiveness does. It locks you right up. Forgiveness is the way out. We forgive because we were forgiven of a greater debt. We also forgive because it opens the door to our forgiveness. Mark one house over in your Bible to the right. Mark chapter 11. If you were here last week, you're super impressed that I'm finding the books, aren't you? Yeah, but let them try to find Jeremiah. I thought that was such a great joke because I couldn't find Jeremiah last week. I just got the look from Wendy. Sorry, y'all. She's like, don't do those jokes. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Okay, here we go, yeah. Sorry. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, and can I just get really practical? If you have unforgiveness in your heart, prayer will reveal it. Right? He's like, and if you're praying and you realize you have something against somebody, unforgiveness in your heart, man, being in the presence of God will pull it out. He'll highlight it. He said, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So forgiveness on our end opens the door to receiving forgiveness from God. Are we good still? Because we don't earn things from God, right? He's not making us work for it. Like, come on, try harder. He's just saying, like, this is a gate. This is a door. And if you're not willing to forgive, that door is shut. And my forgiveness for you can't even get through that. The way to open that is to forgive. And we forgive because it makes us whole. James chapter 5. Keep going to the right. You'll end up there near Peter. Yes. Good job. I feel like we're doing Bible drills. Y'all good? James chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Let's pick it up in verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That word for healed in the Greek is sozo. It literally means saved, healed, delivered, made whole. When we aren't willing to confess unforgiveness, again, we're blocked from being made whole. Man, forgiveness is powerful. So we talked about when we forgive, why we forgive, where. I didn't mean like where do we forgive, but where does forgiveness come from? And this is really important. Forgiveness is not a feeling that we work up. It's not some like, oh, I'm trying to feel like I should forgive you. If you go look at self-help books, you will find a lot of books on forgiveness. And they will all tell you the same thing. You need to forgive people. I even found this, I'm reading it to you word for word. This is from Psychology Today. It says this, in recent years, significant research has looked into the concept of forgiveness and how it affects our health, both physical and emotional. This is the part that grabbed me. The growing body of evidence, this is not from the Bible, this is from science. The growing body of evidence, I'm sorry, Bible and science are not at odds. I just meant this is a scientific study. Bears witness to the Bible. The growing body of evidence indicates that forgiveness carries many potential health benefits, including lower blood pressure and heart rate, fewer episodes of depression and anxiety, improved function of the immune system, and lower risk of substance abuse and a reduction in chronic pain. Y'all, maybe we should forgive. Like, if you won't do it because the Bible says so, do it so you can live longer, right? I'm not going to forgive you, but I'll pop a whole lot of pills to lower my blood pressure. Your choice, right? Maybe you need the blood pressure medicine because you have unforgiveness. And that, maybe not. There can be other reasons, but I would say it's worth a shot. It's amazing, right? It's amazing. Like, but they all talk about it like, okay, just make a choice to forgive. How many of you have ever, by a show of hands, made a choice to forgive somebody? How many of you, same people, the next day, were pretty sure you didn't do it because you felt all the same things again? Okay, good. I just want to make sure I'm in good company, right? In one of the times that I had to make a choice to forgive, there's many, but, and I think I've shared this before around tithing, but I used to do freelance work as a graphic designer so I could feed my kids. Yay, right? And one of the jobs I had, this man asked me if I could help him with SEO, which is search engine optimization. This was years ago when that was just a thing, starting to be a thing. And I was like, sure, I'll help you out. And so he contracted with another group for us to help them with their website. They would send that man the money, and then he would pay me my share out of what they sent him. Are you with me? So I'm just doing the work, right? Because he's a brother. He loves Jesus. I'm sure he's good for it. And I just kept noticing, like, I never got paid. And, you know, my kids are hungry. So after about 10 months, I know you're like, why'd you wait so long? Because I'm a Christian, right? That's why. So at some point, I just, like, called him and said, dude, like, you owe me, like, $3,600 for my work. When can I expect that? And he was like, yeah, I don't have it. Okay, but don't have it, you mean you need a month or so? He's like, no, I literally don't have it. I spent it. You spent it on what? Well, like on my family. Like, we just had needs. It's like, dude, you spent my money. Because we have a contract. And, like, you spent my money. You stole my money. And it ate me up. For months, I would, like, post social media things, like, at him, but not call him out. You know, just, like, I would try to be really general, like, hey, if you've ever stolen from the person that helped you with SEO. No, I wouldn't do that. But it was years, and it was because it was hard for us, and we could have used that money, and I kept him like, you, the very thing you used that money for your family, I could have used it for my family. Like, I was counting on that money. And about a year later, I had just sent him, I sent him an email, and I just said, dude, I gotta let it go. It's killing me. Here's what I learned. It wasn't killing him. He was fine. But it was killing me. And so I just said, I forgive you. Now, to be totally honest, I also prayed that that letter would be written so well that he would feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And then he would send me the money. This is probably why the live stream's not working, Richard, because that way he won't hear this if he's ever watched it, right? Because this is not an attempt to get that money. I'm not in the bill collecting business. But then I had to get over that again. That's why forgiveness is hard. It's daily. It's like every time you think of it, you're like, ooh, I thought I had. And God's like, you did, but let's do it again. And it's not something that you can work up. It's something that we have had to actually get on our knees and say to God, we don't have it in us to forgive this person for what they've done. And if it's on us to work up anything, it will be murder. But God, you are a God who forgives. How do I know? Because you've forgiven me and Wendy for so many things. And so we're on our knees asking you to give us the gift of forgiveness so that we can give it to them. Listen, church, stop trying to do what you can't. You don't have the power to forgive. You only have the ability to be a vessel for forgiveness to flow through. And when we choose to not forgive, that's why that's so important, because we close the gate. And God's like, I want to extend forgiveness through you, but I can't because you're not willing to forgive. And if you'll just allow me, I'll do it. And, man, I could bring up a lot of y'all. You could all come up here and tell story after story after story about how what I experienced is something you've experienced, and maybe even far worse. It's hard. It's hard to forgive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and Colossians 3. Just let me read this to you really quickly. By the way, Ephesians is right after Galatians. I'm just giving you all kinds of Bible tips. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. GEPC. General Electric Power Company. Yes. Yes. Generally edgy potato chips. I don't know. I'm sure we could think long enough about it and come up with some way that the Panthers will lose. All right, so Ephesians chapter 4, Verse 32. I'm hoping not. I'm praying with you. Believe in God for the impossible. Ephesians 4:32. This is forgiveness is a spiritual gift given to us from the Father. Okay, I have Ephesians 4:32. Okay, here we go. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We can't give to others what we haven't received first, right? Forgiveness is very much like the oxygen mask in the airplane principle, right? They pop down and they say, hey, parents, put it on yourself first so that you will live to put it on your children. Forgiveness is the same way. We've got to receive it from God so we can give it. And then Colossians 3:13 says the same thing, that we forgive as we've been forgiven. Turn there, and then we're going to end on that one, I think. Man, Seth, I'm just setting you up for next week, aren't I? They're like, Seth is such a great speaker, especially after Paul. Colossians 3:13. I'm just trying to decide what I want to read from because it's also good. Let's start in 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I wonder if sometimes God chuckles when he's writing the Bible. When he said, bear with each other and forgive one another, if any of you. That's a when, not an if, right? We know all this is in the Bible about forgiveness because there's so many opportunities to forgive one another. And he says to forgive as the Lord forgave you. So that leads us into the how. How do we actually forgive? We forgive the same way God has forgiven us, which covers everything we've talked about. If you just stopped right now, closed your eyes, and just did like a 30-second how have you forgiven me, God? I mean, what words would come out? We didn't deserve it. Over and over again. Am I the only person who sometimes hits repeat on prayers to God because I promised him I wouldn't ever do that again? And here I am again. And he says, my mercy is new. When we really stop and think about how God has forgiven us, and then he expects us to extend the same forgiveness. Because again, we're vessels. And he's like, if I gave that to you, then I can give it through you. All right, last few things before we close. Next week, Seth is going to talk about how family stays. And then the week after that, I'm going to close it out with how family gathers. And then we're going to go gather around Thanksgiving tables with family that we all love. Yes? And sometimes fight with. So I want to make this really clear. I'm not trying to do counseling. I want to give you a couple of takeaways. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. We've been in church long enough, if you're in the South and you were raised in church, which isn't everybody, but a large number of people in this room probably, and we have been shamed into forgiving. And we've also been shamed into being in really toxic relationships because we think that's what Christians should do. So I just want to make sure you understand, forgiveness frees us from the past. Reconciliation frees us for the future. And they're two drastically different things. I mentioned the man that stole money from me. I truly have forgiven him. I'm not eaten up by that money. If he called me tomorrow and said, do you want to do business? Well, one, I don't do that anymore. But if I was and he called me, what would my answer be? I mean, a million times no. Underlined, circled, highlighted in every possible color. It doesn't mean I haven't forgiven him. It means that I've set a boundary with somebody who wronged me. And so this is something I can't judge in you. This is for you and the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we say, oh, I drew a boundary and I've forgiven him, but that boundary was drawn in bitterness, which means you're still in prison, and all you did was, these are the prison walls, and you're in, and they're not. So you have to allow the Holy Spirit to kind of help you understand that. God, I feel like I'm forgiving that person. I feel like I have no bitterness. I'm clothing myself in humility, all these scriptures that we just read. But it's not the same thing as reconciliation. And then let's go one step further. If I forgive that man, and then he does come back and say, I recognize now when you sent me that letter, like, I am so sorry for what I've done, and I want to make that up for you, to you, and here is a check. Well, first I'd be like, Christmas time, right? Awesome. But then if I still want to do business with him, okay, I forgave you, and now we're kind of reconciled, like we're in the same room again, but now there's the whole issue of building trust. You see how this is an onion that just has so many layers. I'm just trying to set you free. Like, don't take this message and let the devil beat you up that you now have to go and forgive and act like it never happened and be in relationship with people who are really bad for you and unhealthy and don't want to do you any good but want to do you harm because you're a Christian. That's not what the gospel says. There is wisdom. So I want to close this out with and I can't wait on our Romans road trip. It'll be in 2025, obviously, but I can't wait to get to Romans chapter 12. We could spend, y'all, the rest of our lives on Romans chapter 12. It's so practical and just like, I want to repent every time I read it. But let me just close it with these verses. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low positions. Don't be conceited. And do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Here's what I want you to take away as we leave. When people wrong us, right, the Christian response is forgiveness. So that we are free. So that we're free to move forward. And sometimes, because we're free to move forward, it'll turn into reconciliation. But sometimes it doesn't. I joke about that passage where he says, if it's possible, as far as it's possible with you, to live at peace with all men. And I've told people before, sometimes the only way to live at peace with all men is to be as far away as possible. And listen, as long as your heart is clear and you know that you're not making that choice because you just hate their guts, then draw the boundary. It's okay. Draw the boundary. We were talking before the service, and I was reminded by somebody who said this wise statement. Even God does that. He's like, I'm offering you forgiveness, but if you're not willing to receive it, I can't forgive you. There will be people that will be in hell because of that boundary. They weren't willing to receive what God offered. So, does that make sense? Okay. It's time to go to lunch. How are we doing? That felt heavy. Are we good? Let me ask you this question. Anybody in the room struggling right now with forgiveness with unforgiveness. It's a safe space, right? We're talking back. I don't know how the end's going to go, and I guess we could play music and, like, get everybody to sing, and you could come get prayer. But I do want to offer, we have a prayer team. I would love, they would love to pray with you. And I know when Wendy and I, and we'll go through stuff again, but when it just sounds like we have a terrible family, by the way. We just have a family, right? But when we've gone through things with our family, we would leave sometimes church and think, God, I just wish somebody would put their hands on my shoulder and pray with me, right? And sometimes you have to tell people what you're going through so that can happen. But it's kind of sad if we come into church with things and then we hear a message that may or may not have been that great, and then we walk back out and never got the, hey, I got you, buddy. Let's pray. So when we ask the prayer team to come to the front, we're not trying to, like, make you feel awkward, like, oh, I guess I'll go down there so we can go home, right? That's not the point. It's that we're in this together. Like, we're family, and family loves one another. We pray for one another. And so if you would like prayer team want to come? Why don't we just stand up? I feel like I've butchered the end of this service, y'all. I'm so sorry. Last week, I talked about how I pray about how to land the plane. I think I just flew it right into a mountain. I'm not sure. Do you want to say something? That's why. See, you're supposed to close it. Yeah.
So in early prayer, sorry, my heart's pounding. Pastor Bridget says sometimes we just got to stop asking for a strategy or whatever for the battle that we're facing and just sit with the Lord. And Pastor Paul confirmed that later, but... So that's what I did after early prayer. I went into the prayer room, and I'm like, Lord, I'm just here. I want to hear from you. I want to see you. And I did see him today. And I saw Jesus going to different hearts in this room today. And there were bandages over hearts that have just masked wounds that have been hiding from true healing. And my little boy had a Band-Aid on his knee the other day, and he was like, part of it won't come off, but he wouldn't let me. So I just left it. It may still be there. I don't know. But I just left it. But Jesus is so kind and gentle, and I saw him like, if you'll give me permission, I can take that off from you. And I saw him gently removing that bandage that only masked the pain and the wound. And then he touched that wound with his wounds. He's got wounds. He's got scars. He touched those wounds with his wounds and healed those wounds. He can do that. He is the healer of hearts. And then he sealed it with his blood. Y'all, his blood speaks a better word over your situation and over the wounds of your hearts. His blood speaks a better word. Let him heal you today. And unforgiveness is one of those wounds. If you've got a leaky wound that's leaking despair and pain and unforgiveness, he wants to take care of that today. Don't leave without dealing with it today.
All right. Well, just close your eyes. Unless you're here and you want prayer, just come on, make your way down here. They would love to pray with you. Yeah, God, I know this. We talk about it all the time about how you're preparing the bride and how you're healing us, God. You're calling us back to wholeness because you've got a task for us. I mean, you want us whole to be with you. I get that, but you're sending us out. And we can only give people what we carry. And today, God, my heart, my cry, and clearly this is on your heart, is that you would be able to give us healing here so that we can carry healing there. I just pray over the people in the room that, as Tori was sharing that about the heart and the wounds, I know that there were hearts that just, they leapt at that. Like, God, could you do that for me? Could you compassionately touch my wound and heal me? And God, your answer is yes. Yes. I was wounded for that. I was crushed for that. And so I just pray, God, life over this altar. We forgive so we can live. And I pray that your life would be restored in us, God. As we lay down this burden that we have carried, for some of us, we're so tired of trying to punish people adequately for what they did to us. And this morning, we choose to forgive, to lay that at your feet, and to leave room for you then to work in their lives how you would choose to. Yeah. Listen, there's some really beautiful things happening here at the altar, okay? So when I say amen and you start making your way that way, just go respectfully so that God can continue to minister here. If you like prayer, come find somebody here as well. We love you guys. I pray you have an awesome day. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks for letting us just be sensitive to what the Lord was doing this morning.